We are reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam on page 101 from the Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy, the sub-chapter Vessels and Lights, Meaning of the Words.
Read, please. Go ahead. We're standing on the same subtitle for a few lessons now, so...
Vessels and Lights. Here is where the line between the gift and the love that it creates must be drawn. The lights, meaning the impression on the vessel, which is attainable, is called form and matter together. The impression is the form, and the above force is the matter. However, the love that is created is considered form without matter. This means that if we separate the love from the gift itself, as though it never clothed any gift, but only in the abstract name, the love of God, then it is regarded as a form. In that event, the practice of it is regarded as formative Kabbalah. However, it would still be regarded as real without any similarity to formative philosophy, since the spirit of this love remains in the attainment, completely separated from the gift, being the light itself. Again, vessels and lights. Here's where the line between the gift and the love that it creates must be drawn. The lights, meaning the impression on the vessel, which is attainable, is called form and matter together. The impression is the form, and the above force is the matter. However, the love that is created is considered a form without matter. This means that if we separate the love from the gift itself, as though it never clothed in any gift, but only in the abstract name, the love of God, then it is regarded as a form. In that event, the practice of it is regarded as formative Kabbalah. However, it would still be regarded as real without any similarity to formative philosophy, since the spirit of this love remains in the attainment, completely separated from the gift, being the light itself.
In our world, we don't really have a conspicuous example for this. But that's called the equivalence of form. That from above, we get the bestowal, we're being influenced, the light itself, it builds us a matter, it takes on a form. And so, as a result of us changing, we change. It's not that something on the outside changes. As a result, we come to this formative understanding, knowledge, meaning I understand and feel the changes which I undergo. Were it not for the changes, were I not to undergo changes, then I couldn't understand this. So, studying the wisdom of Kabbalah is possible only to the extent to which I change, that I experience it on my own flesh, on my own desire, and the desire which takes on new forms, those forms are the forms which I study. And also, in each and every discernment, there is further depth that I have to get into and understand these things and feel them, and different discernments until I reach the one who makes these changes. And then there I get to know him and I'm cleaved on. inside those discernments, inside those forms, throughout the different processes which I undergo, where I get to know that from the Malchut which I feel down to the Ketel that I feel deep, deep, deep inside, where I delve into it, that's where I meet it. It's the Ol Chazel that works on me, and then I'm cleaved on to him. Yes.
Scott from England is asking, how do I separate from the goal?
Where does he say that? That doing is called the present. Asiya is called the presence. Yetzira is called the multitude of presence. Okay, we'll come to that in a second. So, if you get one present, it's fine. If you get many presents, then you start discerning, what does that person want from me? You start feeling him more through the various presents. You start feeling how you change with each and every present, how you accept that second, third, and so on presents, how your attitude toward the giver of the present changes until the presents, they completely disappear, where they become completely non-important compared to your relationship with him, meaning you're no longer expecting the presence as a result of your changing, but what you're expecting is the attitude. Suppose every day you'd get 200 grams of bread, and that would save you. You got and got and got and got, you started getting, you start changing as a result. You start changing so that now it's more important for you to get the attitude from him to such an extent that even those 200 grams of bread that are necessary for your to sustain life, you, how to put it, no longer feel them. You only feel your connection to him. What you're lacking is the attitude, your attitude toward your relationship with him compared to that piece of bread, as it says that he who hates presence shall live, meaning that you start feeling the source of life and you transcend to the feeling of the relationship, meaning that you start acknowledging his relationship toward you, and the relationship is the reward itself. And then you start compensating for that present, meaning, oh, why does he give me that present? Because he enjoys, and so on. Please keep on going.
Matter and form in Kabbalah. The reason is that although this love is merely a consequence of the gift, it is still far more important than the gift itself. It is like a great king who gives an unimportant object to a person. Although the gift itself is worthless, the love and the attention of the king make it priceless and precious. Thus, it is completely separated from the matter, being the light and the gift, in a way that the work and the distinction remain carved in the attainment with only the love itself, while the gift is seemingly forgotten from the heart. Therefore, this aspect of the wisdom is called formative wisdom of Kabbalah. Indeed, this part is the most important part of the wisdom. Again, matter and form in Kabbalah. The reason is that although this love is merely a consequence of the gift, it is far more important than the gift itself. It is like a great king who gives an unimportant object to a person. Although the gift itself is worthless, the love and the attention of the king make it priceless and precious. Thus, it is completely separated from the matter, being the light and the gift, in a way that the work and the distinction remain carved in the attainment with only the love itself, while the gift is seemingly forgotten from the heart. Therefore, this aspect of the wisdom is called formative wisdom of Kabbalah. Indeed, this part is the most important part of the wisdom.
The wisdom of love, in short. That by that I examine, I check my the attitude of the Creator toward me, and correspondingly the extent to which I can build my attitude toward Him. Questions? Yes.
What is there in love that you can suffer the pain that it gives, as opposed to the gift that just disappears, and then you just let it go?
The king, he is extremely cunning. He gives me a present and makes sure that in this present I will feel his attitude toward me, and that I'll feel shame as a result that I don't have the same attitude toward him. And make sure that I decipher these things correctly, and make sure that this feeling of shame will not go away, but for me not to erase it, but for it to help me be like him. That I get love from him, and I feel the gap between, or the difference between, his attitude toward me and my attitude toward him as shame, then I'm grateful to him, even though that it's consuming fire. Because that feeling, it helps me build myself. Meaning, this shame, this is the right deficiency, possibly the right deficiency, possibly it isn't. But if I don't want to erase it, that is already the right attitude toward it, toward shame. Over this deficiency now, I want to build an attitude toward him, so it's forbidden for him to disappear, for it to disappear. On the contrary, the bigger it is, the more I cope with it in order not to conceal it in any way, but to invert it into that very form of love which I feel from him. And all the more, why all the more? Because the love that I felt from him, I feel it in my ego. That what I feel in my ego is that if someone loves me, nah, I deserve it. Were I to give you a present worth 20 shekels, or I would harm you with 20 shekels, then the 20 shekel present, you'll forget it after some time. But the harm that I caused you through those 20 shekels, you won't forget that. You'll feel it, that harm, like 200,000 shekels. Because a present, I deserve it. Someone says something good and nice about me, great, and I forget about it. But someone does or says something bad about me, that's it. Until I get back at him somehow, I can't calm down. Therefore, that the shame remains and a bit of his love, the shame, it multiplies the love, and then helps me build a kli of bestowal that he can be, that it can be adapted to my ego. Otherwise, I won't feel that my ego is sufficient for his love. I need the shame. Then the shame is the multiplying force. It is a force that increases the force of love. And then I'll be able to develop a great deficiency for bestowal and bestow. But it's a process, and this is something that we'll learn now in the worlds of Bia. Yes.
Oh, so Oliver from France and also Scott from England are asking about the formative Kabbalah. What is that?
Because there is matter and there is form. We learned this in the beginning. The matter is the will to receive. The form is its intention in order to bestow. Where in our intention we're similar to the Creator, and in our matter we're the opposite to Him. And that I have difference between the matter and the form, it helps me stay the creature who is similar to the Creator, who is alike the Creator. Let's continue.
Abia. This love consists of four parts that are much like human love. When we first receive the present, we still do not refer to the giver of the gift as one who loves us. Although more so, if the giver of the present is important and the receiver is not equal to him. However, the repetitive giving and the preservance will make even the most important person seem like a true equal lover. This is because the law of love does not apply between great and small, as two real lovers must feel equal. Thus, you can measure 4 degrees of love here. The incident is called Asiya. The repetition of giving of the gift is called Yetzira. And the appearance of one of the love itself is called Bria. It is here that the study of formative wisdom of Kabbalah begins, for it is in the degree that love is separated from the presence. This is the meaning of and created darkness, meaning the light is removed from Yetzirah, and the love remains without light, without its gifts. Then comes Atzilut. After it is tasted and entirely separated from form, the matter, as in and created darkness, it became worthy of ascending to the degree of Atzilut, where the form clothes the substance once more, meaning light and love together.
Okay.
Abia, the love consists of 4 parts that are much like human love. When we first receive the present, we still do not refer to the giver of the gift as one who loves us. All the more, so if the giver of the present is important and the receiver is not equal to him. However, the repetitive giving and the preservance will make even the most important person seem like a true equal lover. This is because the law of love does not apply between great and small, as two real lovers must feel equal. Thus, you can measure the 4 degrees of love here. The incident is called Asiya. The repetition of the giving of the gifts is called Yetzira, and the appearance of the love itself is called Bria. It is here that the study of formative wisdom of Kabbalah begins, for it is in this degree that love is separated from the presence. This is the meaning of and created darkness, meaning the light is removed from the Yetzirah, and the love remains without light, without its gifts. Then comes Atzilut. After it is tasted and entirely separated the form from the matter, as in and created darkness, it became worthy of ascending to the degree of Atzilut, where the form clothes in the substance once more, meaning light and love together.
Well, Okay, so they already gave you the mic.
Oh, I completely went lost here.
What are you asking about that it says here?
Everything that's written here is love and gifts and gifts and loves. And when I look at reality, I only see trouble and pain. And there was a massacre yesterday of 20 kids in a school. What love and presence? I don't get it.
Who promised you that it will not be this way in this world? In this world, all that you see it in the will to receive. Rise to a different level of the desire, and you'll see everything differently. Go one story up. What you see now is reality in your ego. No good things can occur here. Whatever you sometimes feel as good, it's also bad, only you don't discern it as evil yet. You still think that it's good. In our world, in principle, because we're all in the will to receive in order to receive. It's an animalistic will to receive. It's not even the real one. So nothing good can come out of this. What are you expecting exactly? I'm stunned to hear your question. The massacre here, the killing there, the how it is like that. What could be good about what's happening here? If you are in order to receive and opposite to the light, only disasters can take place from one moment to the next. Why? However, in order to let you breathe between the events, to have some freedom, recess between the different states so you can start grasping them. Therefore, this world, the lowest level, is truly, truly in mercy against nature altogether. This world exists. How to put it, exists in chassadim, and I'll tell you, it exists because it has a role, because it has a purpose. Were it not for the future goal and purpose, then this world per se, as is, according to its level, would have been dark, and I don't even know how to pass it on to from dusk till dawn and dawn till dusk, torture and torments ceaselessly. Because that's called in order to receive. Opposite to the light. Only that there is a small illumination on this world just to allow us to exist for a certain period of time and transcend. Do you understand what spiritual discernments between the light and the will to receive are? It's oppositeness. Oppositeness is simply that. It's impossible to depict. It's really an act of mercy. It's a great miracle that for the time being, we exist here under mercy in order to allow us, because were there truly great torments and suffering, you wouldn't have been able to somehow transcend them and think about anything. This is why you're kept this way, but really? If it's clear that you're not using the time correctly, then the lights leave a bit and come greater torments, and they throw you into a washing machine until you have no choice. You start crying out, help. Then there's a pause again, examine you once again. Yes, no, how was it with Jews? It's usually not enough.
We've really had enough. If you ask Victor now, you'll see, or anybody here.
No, when I go out to the street, I ask people on the street, how are things? How are things going? The missiles. What missile? Oh, right, there were missiles. No one remembers that. No one remembers that. That's called a stubborn people. Learn nothing from what happened.
But we're not stubborn.
You're double stubborn. At least they have no idea what's going on. But you, who are sitting here for years, listening to what I say, and so, how stubborn are you? What did you do with all that I taught you? Out of all that I taught you, what did you realize?
So, what, am I going to pray all day? What should I do?
So he's asking what to do.
It seems like we're doing everything we can, and nothing's changing for the good.
What did you do? For example, what did you do?
Well, I did probably less than everybody.
No. What did you do?
I guess nothing.
So what do you do?
So I'm asking what to do.
I didn't do anything because I don't know what to do. So why are you sitting here? You're sitting here and you don't hear what you have to do? No. It doesn't penetrate or what? What is our corruption? The shattering. What's the correction?
Unity.
Unity. So what are you asking about? What are you doing in favor of uniting the whole of creation? First of all, among those who have the Rashimot, which are all of our friends that are now sitting behind the screens and internet and television and everything else. What are you doing in order to unite them all, in order to bring a great, big, special force that wants to rise above the ego and bring to the unification of the world, to make it a place for the Creator to reveal, that by that you give Him contentment, He reveals Himself and enjoys Himself evermore. And then we, too, have the pleasure as a result of causing Him that pleasure. That's called equivalence of form. What else is there that you have to know? That's it. Just to cause unity, arvut, integral education. I don't know. So what are you exactly doing here? You come here, listen to whatever you listen to, and go home. So a person on the street is more righteous than you are because he has no idea what he has to do. He doesn't disregard, he doesn't push it away. He simply doesn't know. There's much less demand on him than on you. Soon you'll reach the Supreme Court. Supreme meaning the higher court, not the state higher Supreme Court. But and then you'll see how they'll treat you. So I'm warning you. You're smiling, but he doesn't want to ask anything. You see, he's giving back the mic. Had enough. We have to be afraid. We really have to be afraid because time is passing by and we can do much more than we're doing. And really, if we'll feel the responsibility, not over myself, but over the group and the world, myself, you can, all of your disrespect, it's because, whatever will happen with me will happen. Don't think about that it'll happen with you. Think that you're responsible for everyone, then you'll have a different attitude. Given the mic.
Maybe opportunity just opened in dissemination, like in America after this massacre. Maybe we can write something about it.
I also expect them to respond to this, not only the English department. They're like you, you know. There is no feeling of responsibility that chokes you. Suppose, like with our friend who is... in pain for his daughter. The ego is destroying us. No such feeling. The ego is destroying us. Yes, Dani. But in order for me to reach the love of the Creator, first of all, I have to feel His love toward me. How do I learn to identify it?
No. First of all, you do something in order to have love of friends. You don't even know what love is. You have egoistic love, only that, which is that word that you love yourself, and that's why you love your relatives, maybe a few friends, maybe some fish or whatever. You love yourself. You love things that fill you. When you're going to start practicing in love of friends, you're going to start loving things that fulfill others. In that, you will build a new sense. A sense that you will feel the others, what they're lacking and what can fulfill them. And you're going to start loving the things that fulfill him, even though they are opposite to the things that fill you. Then you're going to start changing your attitude from you to the others, and then you will start building the right love. Right love can only exist if you restrict yourself and start hating receiving things that you like and start liking things that the others like, because only in that way you can fulfill them, him. That is called that you move from the feeling of pain and pleasure of what's in me, to pain and pleasure to what's in him. Then it's already called that you've acquired, bought, attained the love of the others. It's like a cell. It's a new sense. With that sense that you start changing your attitude towards the world, you slowly start acquiring a new art, how to acquire the Creator and treat him like that. The Creator is hidden in this world. That if you start treating the world in a certain way, you'll see that also he treats the world that way. And then you start meeting in this world. You start equalizing in form. You cling to each other. But before that, you discover that the world is evil. You see, like our friend just talked, it's horrible, it's full of problems and pain and war and troubles. Where is the good that does good? It's not here. Not here, meaning not in my current qualities. I have to prepare my new qualities, that is called the love of the others, and then I will discover the Creator.
But suppose even before we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah, my whole life I was a big egoist. And then when my children were born, then on my behalf there was a change.
What change?
That there's someone that I care for before I care for myself.
It's not you. It's nature organizing that this little body becomes more important than your body, that I'm willing to go through pain and efforts and exertion in order for that body to feel good. That's nature. What, animals don't do that?
Yeah, but there's someone opposite to me that the Creator's hidden.
No, you just think it's in front of you. It's inside of you. That piece of flesh that's outside of you is in you. Just the flesh is outside. Look at a mother. There was flesh inside. Now the flesh came out. What's the difference? She keeps worrying about him and like this, and I'll clean this, and I'll give him something, and you know, constantly. More than when he was inside. First she put some lipstick on. Now you think she's thinking about that? No. She's only thinking about him. How to clean him. What lipstick? So what, that's not the ego working? So what is it? Devotion? Love? Love of the others? What others? That's others. What correction did she do? What are you talking about? In this world? Where did you see something like that? That you love the others? I love somebody or something that I enjoy myself from that love. I love the pleasure that is in every object or thing and everything.
How can I love someone?
That's why I'm saying, come on, man. That's why, from the love of the others to the love of the Creator, you first have to learn, you have to acquire that new sense, that new vessel called love of the others. This is me. Yeah? Ego, me, I want only for myself, only to myself. I can't see anything else. Now I move on to the next stage. I enter society, me, and a group. I start playing with them. They influence me, I influence them. And in the middle, there's study, there's a teacher. Books. And dissemination and all kinds of things. From everything Kabbalists tell us to do here, in this box here, we build new vessels, which is called love of the others. How do we build them? How can I build them? If I make actions alone, with kavana, intentions, even egoistic intentions. But I work according to what Kabbalists told me to do. I put efforts in playing with that I love them, that I bestow, that everything. I built an artificial bubble in this whole egoistical world. By that, I invite the reforming light. Here above us, here's the machsom, the barrier. Above it, there's light, the light. And then it influences me. Like this. Just a little bit. Drops of it. And only by it, only with its help, I acquire a new vessel. That I start loving the others. I don't know where it came from. I suddenly start treating you like my son, my little son. I look at your face. It's a different face. I look at you, on your character, on everything. It's completely different. I don't hate you anymore. I start feeling these things as good. I don't know what's happening. Am I losing it? What happened to me? That's how the light works. That's how it works. And then, in the measure that I start feeling those new vessels, I start getting new discernments and studying in what we talk about as in lights and vessels. I start kind of understanding it a bit more, to feel it a bit more. You know, start guessing. I'm still guessing until I built a real new vessel for the love of the others that I can take that devotion. And then I pass the machsom. It's like an inner barrier that the others become more important to me than myself. That is a must. It's a condition to pass the barrier. And you know, it's not important, you love them already. No, it's some measure. Even it's still chafetz chesed, but it's already... It must happen in this world, in this level. It's still not the love what we're talking about in the upper worlds. Because then you'll have Shorosh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, the four sermons with their root. This is Chafetz Chesed, and this is real, true love. So what did I draw here? That without a group and the work inside it, you never acquire vessels that you can later on approach spirituality with them. That is the process. That's why the shattering of the vessels and this world, so many humans and all this mess, what's happening between them and so on and so on. It's unnecessary until the last smallest detail in order for us to build the vessels for the love of the others. That's it? Or vessels of bestowal, same thing. Yes.
But specifically, in what you're describing, there are these periods and times that there's a great sense of hatred developed towards those close to you.
Right, so what? Because you start discovering that your relatives, the ones that are here, that are close to you, you start feeling that your relatives are the ones that are here studying with you, and the ones that you're home aren't really close to you. That's it? What?
Edgar is from England is asking how to extend the responsibility of the friends toward the people of the world.
Give them an example. Okay? Who is it?
Edgar is?
I don't remember someone like that. Who is it?
From England.
Yes, guys, okay, Akoko, what?
What is this condition of being able to bear the devotion?
That man can already work towards the others more than towards himself. But still in our world, I then just draw this Shorosh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet here. Why? Because we're still working on the aviut that is not real spiritual aviut, coarseness. We're only preparing the foundations for the vessels of bestowal. Yes.
So, working with the friends on this level, how does this tolerance, this devotion, how is it expressed?
How much do you really think about them? How much are you concerned that they are concerned about spirituality? How much are you concerned that they have their necessities in the corporeal world? And all the rest of their desires and thoughts are... If the good ones are directed towards spirituality, that means that you love them. Like when you're concerned about someone that you want him to be healthy, that you want him to be good. What can be good for them? Necessity in corporeal life and infinity in spirituality. Yes, Moshe.
With the mom and child example, the mom loves the child, but the child hates her, disregards her, disrespects her. In our terms, we can say that he hates her. So how can these two things coincide, hatred and love? And for her, it's still instinctive love. What will cause me to love the other?
A child doesn't hate his mother. He loves her in a beastly way, like an animal. The mother loves the child in a more upper level, like is supposedly in the speaking level. That's how it is in our world. What's the question? Why does he disregard her?
Okay, that happens naturally, but what will cause me love the other? Why do I have to what is the reason for me loving another?
We are talking about the love of the others, that you don't love it like the mother loves a kid or two people that love each other. We're talking about love of the others that it was completely neutral towards you, then you started connecting because of our goal together that you can't reach it. You can't be happy if we don't all reach it. Then you start getting connected in order to reach that goal. When you reach that goal, you start feeling hatred towards each other. You work on that hatred every time more and more, and your heart gets heavy every time. And then love again, and then your heart gets heavy again, and you go through essence and descents of hate and love. And you start going into numbness, and in that numbness you can somehow keep the outer work, even though you don't really advance. That's usually the feeling of death that happens in groups, that they're afraid to get closer to one another to not discover hatred, and through hatred you can get to love. So they're just in numbness. Until you finally understand that there is no, you have no other way, you just have to shut your eyes, and whatever's going to happen, I'm going for the love. And then, it doesn't have to be outside, it can be everything inside. But as we say, in the group, yeah, in a group like this, you also have to show it externally too. We have to talk about it, we have to give impressions. Yes.
But what's the reason? What's the origin for it? If I don't feel the Creator, it's possible to say that, yeah, because of the Creator, because of the goal.
What obligates you?
Yeah.
Well, you want to get the goal or not?
Even though I don't know what it is.
It's not important. Do you want the goal or not?
Yes.
You want it. So, it's obligating. If you really want it, or are you just in some illusion that you want it? So you come here to waste time. Make calculations. If you want the goal is the Creator. The Creator is the quality of love. Do you want the quality of love? That's why you have friends in a group. Invest yourself in there. That's it. Don't want it? Well, go home. That's it. Enjoy something else. You understand? That's it. Either like this or like that. But don't let every day just become a routine, and same thing is going to happen tomorrow and the day after. So what are you counting on? The light is just still. It's just waiting. Only in our vessels we can change reality. Nothing's going to happen if not for us. Just us. Israel doesn't have any luck. Whoever goes, walks Yeshar Kel, he builds his fortune, his fortunes. The light that drops from above. Okay. What?
Rav, I'd like to take this opportunity to in North America, after the Yeshivat Chavarim that we have, they will have a meal for North America and Australia, and they're inviting the friends from the world. If someone wants to join them, it will be broadcasted live stream. Whoever wants to join this unique connection that the friends are initiating, they're ready. There's a lot of warmth and love there in North America for the whole world.
The English-speaking world. And let everybody join. Great. And except for that, we also have a convention in Germany, in Berlin. Yesterday I was with them also. I talked to them for more than an hour, and today I'm going to be in touch with them. Here, you see? The Congress, you see it? The United Europe Congress. I really hope it will be a united Europe and not the other one, and something will grow from there. So, good for you guys, for our friends. It's towards our convention that hopefully will be in March in Germany, European Congress in Germany. And what else do we have?
Okay, Sunday, World Unity Day on Cub TV 5, virtual lesson with Dr. Lightman, 6:45, the World Yeshivat Chavarim, including workshop.
Let your heart speak, let your heart listen, shoulder to shoulder, you won't be alone. Love is around, the deepest ocean, together we're drawn in, I won't let go. So good to be a part of you. This is what their life should be. Learning to unite, living in the light. We'll win this fight, and everything's gonna be alright. Learning to unite. Learning to unite. Together, together as one.